Why would we receive persecution without responding in anger and retaliation? Why would we do that? Why do we give our heart allegiance to this one? Because we can't do anything else when we understand what he did for us.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and today we'll conclude our Christmas series, A Look at the Manger. Don will present part two of the message, The Life Lesson of the Incarnation. Last time, Don gave us the first of three principles regarding humility. We are to serve others. Today, Don will add the principles of sacrifice and submission to God. All three principles come to us directly from the example of Christ himself. He led the way and showed us how we can live individually and as a church in a manner pleasing to God. So have your Bible again open to Philippians chapter 2 as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Go up to Philippians chapter 2. I'm asking the question rhetorically. You see, here's the whole point. In verse 6, Philippians 2, verse 6, he existed in the form of God, but he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't regard his position of deity, his equality with God, as something that he would grasp, that he would cling to, that he was unwilling to let go of. He didn't view it that way. He saw all of his position. He saw all of his position, and yet he didn't cling to it. Instead, he was willing to lay it aside. And Scripture teaches us that he did it in order to serve those of us who would one day believe in him. Those of us who had no claim on him, those of us who sinned against him, those of us who did not love him, he loved us first. He didn't love us with a silly sentiment that could be captured in a four-line rhyme on a Hallmark card. This was great, unspeakable sacrifice for him to leave the glory of heaven to come to earth for you and for me. What is this? What kind of character is this? I've never seen this on earth. What is this humility that puts us ahead of his own position? What is that? It's the humility of Christ, is what it is. It's the majesty of one who voluntarily put himself in a position of service, rather than, in one sense, his rightful position of lordship. Rightful in the sense that we never could have asked him to do what he did for us. Yeah, let that sink in. Lost sinners, you and I. Christ sees our lost estate and steps down to serve us. Why do we worship him? That's why. Why do we love him with loyalty that transcends every human relationship? Why do we love him with a loyalty that, if called to do so, we would gladly spill our blood for him? Why would we gladly bear mocking and insults from those who reject Christ and therefore reject and persecute us? Why would we do that? Oh, we need to talk about this sometime in the future. Why would we receive persecution without responding in anger and retaliation? Why would we do that? Why do we give our heart allegiance to this one so unreservedly and gladly? Because we can't do anything else when we understand what he did. For us, he set aside the prerogatives of royalty, the prerogatives of deity, and stepped into earth to serve us. That kind of condescension is unspeakable. Now, remember, beloved, remember that Paul here is using Christ as an illustration of the command that he wants the church to carry out. He's saying, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ stepped down. He explains it in verse 6. His attitude toward himself was, I'm not going to cling to what's mine. I'll set it aside for the sake of the people that I love. And he says, that's what you and I are to be like. Have this attitude in yourselves that was in Christ. And so, stated in the most simple way that we could state it, you can say it this way. Christ served you. Now, go and be like Christ. Go and serve your fellow believers in the body of Christ. That's the logic, that's the import of the passage. Christ stepped down. Therefore, you go step down. Let's be practical about this. God has blessed you with time, with giftedness, with resources. And for some of you, God has given you authority in your respective realms of operation. Understand this, because this changes life. God has given you what you have, not so you can appropriate it and keep it all to yourself. He's given you whatever you have so that you can turn around and serve with it. Christ, with the unlimited resources of deity, took it and served. Now, the way that you and I view our lives and everything that we have, we say, this is given to me to serve with. And so, that's not complicated. But beloved, it takes humility to act upon it. It takes humility to say, okay, I'll make a volitional act and do that. It might be a simple act of love. It might mean, I'll let go of that argument. I'm not even going to be bitter and say, but I was right all along. I just want to let go of it. I let go of the bitterness. I'll serve that way. But beloved, especially you young people, with your life ahead of you, understand that when we talk about this kind of humility, I want you to understand that this kind of humility has a claim on your ultimate life ambition. This kind of service from Christ, those of you that belong to Christ, especially you young people who still have the opportunity to determine the course of what you want to do with the years of life that are ahead of you, when Christ has done this for you, He has a claim on what your ambition in life is. I won't claim to define that for you, but I want you to see that you should be thinking about what the future of your life is. And the context of that is, what has Christ done for me? He served me. All I can do is somehow be a servant in response. Because my priorities, my affections, my ambitions are defined by one greater than me who served more than I ever will. And therefore, that will be the context in the way that I define what I want to do with my life. That's where proper thinking about Christ leads you. And so it's no longer about this earthly life and the accumulation of stuff and prominence and all of that. That's not what you're after if you're following Christ. No. The final defining ambition is, I want to be like Him. He was a servant. All right, now I've got something to think about. What have I got here? What can I do? What are my abilities? And how do I translate them into service to Christ and to His people? This sacrificial attitude that He had toward us, how can I sacrifice within the body of Christ? It's not just young people, it's all of us. You see, when we talk about humility, we're talking about something that when we talk about the humility of Christ, we're talking about something that comes and owns us. Because that's the only way that you could possibly properly respond to such unspeakable sacrifice for me, for you, who didn't deserve it. So humility serves others. Secondly, humility sacrifices itself. Look at verse 7. It would be enough, really, if Christ had just come down to earth and spent a few years here. That would be condescension beyond belief. Considering the heavenly realm that He departed in order to do that. But it goes further. You see, if nothing else, walk away today impressed by Christ. Look at verse 7. Christ didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Here's the incarnation in this passage. Verse 7, He emptied Himself, which means that He took the form of a bondservant and was made in the likeness of men. Christ did not empty Himself in the sense that He gave up being God. That's not what the passage means. That would be impossible. God can't stop being God. No. When He emptied Himself, what it's referring to is the fact that He took on human flesh. In all that we've been singing about, the incarnation was a statement of Christ laying aside the prerogatives of deity in order to become a man. He sacrificed His position in heaven for the sake of being on earth for 33 years. This is a strong contrast. Jesus, as God, here He is, not using it to His advantage. Beloved, we've got to think about Christ like this. When Jesus Christ came to earth, He took an unspeakably great step down. He walked on earth in full humanity. He was like us in every way, except for the sin of it all. He obeyed His heavenly Father, and as the Lord of creation, often had no place to lay His own head. And the power of that example comes when we remember that He's God. It was God who was a baby in the manger. It was God who spent His earthly life in obscurity, working with His hands as a carpenter. It was God who took a position lower than He deserved. It was our Lord Jesus Christ who sacrificed His place in heaven. His rightful rule, His rightful realm, it belonged to Him. We speak about a man's home being his castle. Oh, well, heaven was Jesus' castle. And He walked out beyond the gates, as it were, and came and walked as a peasant with a redemptive purpose in mind. A redemptive purpose. And so here He is. He's in heaven, verse 6. And He doesn't regard that as something that He's going to cling to. He's thinking, as it were, and he says, I'm not going to cling to this. I'll lay it aside. How far would He lay it aside? He'd lay it aside so much that He would take on humanity and walk on this earth. Why? We saw it from Matthew 20. Listen, Christ sacrificed His place in heaven so that He could sacrifice Himself in your place on the cross. And Paul is saying that's our example. We extend blessing to those who don't deserve it. We lay down the weapons of retaliation. We don't assert our rights as Christians. If we're thinking rightly about our Lord Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian that is owned by Him, that is a slave to Christ, do you understand that whatever else the Constitution says, Christians, we don't have rights. All of our rights belong to Him. We're not meant to be a people that asserts our prerogatives and our rights and complains when we feel like they're encroached upon. Because the reason that we're not like that is because Christ wasn't like that. You want to talk about someone who had a bill of rights? It was Christ. It was Christ in heaven where all of the right and prerogative was His. And He says, I won't hold on to any of it. I'll come down and serve sinners who are going to crucify me. And we want to complain because of stuff in the news? What's the matter with us? What's the matter with the Church of Jesus Christ that we've lost sight of who our Lord is and we want to assert things that He didn't even assert for Himself? You see, this is really magnificent and it's really, really important. We shape our lives, we shape our view of our position in this world by Christ, not by a constitution, however magnificent that document may be. We need to completely turn upside down the way we think, the way that we think about our life on this earth. Until we see ourselves as in light of Christ, the one who had everything and didn't assert His rights, we come to a point where we say, whatever I have, I'm not going to assert it because I just want to be a servant to Christ and a servant to the men around me. And servants, slaves, have no rights. That's what Christ did. That's the power of the incarnation. That's the life lesson of the incarnation. This is how we are to think about ourselves in light of Christ. It turns everything upside down. And don't let yourself get sucked into the vortex of well-meaning Christian men and women who say we've got to stand up and fight for our rights. We're not thinking rightly when we take that approach. If Christ had fought for His rights in heaven, maybe we would do it different, but He didn't. And beloved, think, and let your affections and ambitions be shaped accordingly. If Christ had been like what we are called to be like by the world around us, we wouldn't be redeemed. We would not be Christians. We would be without hope. If Christ was like the Christian political mindset would have us to be, we would be all miserably lost with no hope because He would still be in heaven and we would be enveloped in a darkness that we could never find our way out of. That's what the incarnation teaches us. When you start with who Christ is, God Himself, and you see it was a step down to say, I'm not going to assert this. It was another step down for Him to say, I'll go to earth. We see a third aspect of it in that humility submits to God. We said that humility serves others. It sacrifices itself. Humility submits to God. And we see the final step in the great condescension of Christ, verse 8, says, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Picture a staircase, just down, 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 down until you get to the basement. That's what Christ did. From heaven to an attitude that says, I will go. I will not assert my rights. To the incarnation, an appearance just like ours, no place to lay His head. he steps down further. I'll go to death. It steps down further and says, I'll give my life on a cross. That instrument of torture, that instrument of shame, that instrument of utter humiliation. He says, I'll go all the way there. You want to know how far humility goes in the life of a Christian? Think about Christ and realize that from heaven he went to the cross. There's this continual progression of self-sacrifice and humiliation in our Lord that is incomprehensible. Do you see that? Christ put no limits on his humility. He put no limits on his obedience to his Father. He did all of this voluntarily. He said in John 10, no one's taken my life from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. You know, we could talk about the glory of Christ from a perspective of his power to calm the seas, his power to raise the dead. Those are all appropriate aspects of his power. He is a many splendored wonder, isn't he? But today we look at his humility and we see one who is utterly unlike us. We see one who put no limits. He just voluntarily and courageously, as it were, set his face toward Jerusalem and went to the cross as God. Christ obeyed his Father to the point of death. Christ never said, but this isn't fair, but don't you know who I am? Don't you get this? He just went and did it. That's magnificent. Christ is like no other. Christ is worthy of all of our worship. And Scripture says, as you go on to verse 9, God the Father gets that. In response to that utter humiliation of his Son, look what God the Father has done. Verse 9, for this reason also, God highly exalted him. He raised him from the dead. He bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, they crucified him while he was on earth, but you know, that day is still coming when everyone, either voluntarily or by force, will bend the knee to this great Christ and confess the glory that was his before time began, which he was not afforded during his life on earth. Everything's going to be made right, and Christ is going to receive the glory from every tongue of every man who ever lived. And part of what we're going to glorify him for is the glory and majesty of his humility. Come down to earth to honor and glorify his Father by sacrificing his life for us. I love him, don't you? As we go out today, what we have to remember is that Paul has said that all of that's a model for us. This is the way that we're to think about ourselves. Not asserting our rights, serving, unity, one purpose, one mind. That's what we're trying to build here, is a body like that, that reveres Christ so much that we're happy to put ourselves aside and under others for the sake of being like the one who saved our souls.
Christmas is indeed a time to celebrate the coming of the Christ child in a manger, but it's also a perfect time to reflect on the model our Lord has left us to follow in our lives and ministries. Well, we hope you've been edified by the series, A Look at the Manger. Pastor Don Green will have more great teaching from God's Word next time here on the Truth Pulpit, so don't miss a moment. But right now, Don's back with some closing thoughts.
Well, my friend, have you ever been in that situation in life where you said, God, this is just too hard for me. I can't do this. You're asking too much from my obedience. I hope that today's message gives you a perspective on the life of Christ that'll give you the encouragement to persevere. The demand on Christ when he came to earth was great. He went to the cross. He went to death, even death on a cross. And now he is with you to help you through the hard times that God calls you to go through. You can do it as you walk with Christ. Look to him and find his sufficiency, his love, and his grace that will carry you through yet another day.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to find out how to get free CDs of Don's messages. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when Don presents more from The Truth Pulpit.